Welcome back, my friend. Chef and a Fat Man live from Bobby G's Authentic Chicago Style Eatery in beautiful Milton, Georgia. If I have to tell you where it is, then forget about it. You're just going to miss out on a great Chicago eating experience. Why? Because we have attitude in Chicago, and we really don't care. We figure you'll find it if you want it bad enough. Now, Chef Red, I have to ask you about the mystery ingredient in your egg salad. Was the thing that was really, really crunchy?
That would be the onions, sir.
No, because you sautéed those. It would have been the eggshells.
There were no eggshells. Negative, sir.
I'm just telling you.
I was saying.
I just chewed on one, and I was wondering if that was fiber for my old age.
Well, it really is.
That is very nice of you to concern.
And you got no eggshell. Nice try.
Okay, well, I thought
so we've got some more hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
And again, I want to go over that one more time to perfectly hard-boil your egg.
Shellless this time, I hope.
How did you enjoy that?
Just saying.
Not the shell, the whole mushroom egg salad thing.
All right,
good,
go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead. It was great.
All right, start the eggs in cold water.
Yes.
Bring them up to a boil. Boil them about a minute and 15 seconds.
With one layer of eggs on the bottom.
One layer of eggs, right. About an inch, two Ooh. Inches over with the water.
You going to add any salt?
No, we're not going to add any salt. That's not going to permeate into that shell anyway. We'll add the salt later.
All right.
Why would you add salt to something that's not going
to
work?
Because that's the way my mom did it.
Okay. To change the boiling temperature, but you don't need to.
Thank you, doctor.
Unless we're up in Denver at a high altitude, then we got to adjust everything. But anyway, so we're going to let those go for a minute 15 seconds at a boil. Shut them off. Let them sit for 10 minutes in that hot water. It will cook through when they're done. Strain out as much water as you can and start the cold water running and let it overflow into your sink. Let them run until they're cool. I've seen people throw ice on top. I've done that many times. It's okay, but I've also seen the shells crack because of the sudden temperature change. So just let the cold water run them. That's exactly what it's doing. So when that's done, then take the egg, roll it, and then most of the peel will come off in the first bit. So we've done that again. I've got the deviled eggs. Just cut the eggs in half.
Okay.
Okay. We've got the yolks in the bowl.
Now I got to ask you.
Yes.
Do you cut the eggs in half
lengthwise?
The long ways?
Long ways.
Or the short and stubby way?
Well, you can do it short and stubby, but the problem is one will be taller than the other, and they'll have an inferiority complex. And also, it's hard for that egg to stand up with deviled egg in it on a point.
Well, and if you have serving pieces, they're designed for the eggs being cut.
They have egg trays just for that reason.
For that reason.
So we've added the egg, the chopped up egg yolk, mayonnaise.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
Who has a tray that's specially designed for deviled eggs?
I have four.
You people.
We got class.
Yeah, you people got way too much time on your hands. Either that or you've just been married. Or you've been married two or three times, and you've gotten one every time.
No,
I don't know.
We go to a bunch of events.
Okay.
Like 285 foodies or something.
Family events. No, family events. We're going to take a casserole or cake or a pie or whatever.
It's a Southern thing.
One of the two things that my wife and her mother make are incredible deviled eggs. I mean, really good.
But if you put them in a fancy serving tray.
No, it's a clamp-on plastic serving tray that you can haul 24 halves, a dozen eggs.
Yeah, they sit beautifully in there, and they're comfortable in your transportation.
But you lose all the ambience if you don't stick them.
Ice is underneath them. They stay chilled. They have a handle.
Oh, please. How foofy of you.
No, it is not foofy.
Yeah, it's way too high tech. It's a freaking deviled egg.
You would have no problem eating out of that tray at deviled eggs, now would you?
I don't know, Miss Ada, my mother-in-law, makes some pretty good deviled eggs.
She does.
Right. Yes.
She makes even better.
Does she use sweet pickle relish in her deviled eggs?
She does. I use dill.
Ah.
Or I use Mickle's pickles, which is much better than all of them.
Anyway,
crab deviled eggs.
So then we've got some crab meat in there. Do not waste your money and time with jumbo lump crab meat. I don't know that I like anybody that much.
Yes.
If I'm making crab cakes, that's a different thing. Or if I'm making a timbale of crab and avocado and such, then maybe we'd go with that.
I'm thinking surimi.
It'd work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would know?
Well, I would.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it either. So, back fin is fine. Lump, no. Regular crab meat leg is fine. Added a little bit of chive to this. Fresh chive, not dry. Very finely chopped chive. Chive is not something that you want to get a big mouthful.
It's not green pepper.
No, and you know what's funny is I've got wild onions growing in my grass.
Oh, yeah.
I took one of those the other day and pulled it out, snipped it, chopped it up. It was absolutely wonderful.
Sure.
Worked perfect.
We call those weeds.
We do, too, but
I'm just saying. Wild onions.
We've got the, That's the technical term if you look on the back of the bear weed killer.
Okay.
So then we've got the eggs. And all you're going to do is spoon them in there if you want to. Or
oh, Fred, if I'd have known, I'd have brought my egg holder.
Well, you know, Mike, I didn't get with you that much. I was going to be a little embarrassed if you actually brought it. I was just figured we could talk about it.
Okay.
This red plastic plate works absolutely fine.
Well, you know, when you talk about onions, just how you knew everything there was to know about eggs, which came first, the zygote or the shell, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, did you know that onions have been revered throughout the centuries? The Egyptians actually used onions as an object of worship. And do you know what the onion symbolized in Egyptology?
Fertility.
No.
Bad breath.
Yeah, the god of bad breath. They're very good. No, eternity. It symbolized eternity. According to the Bible, onions were eaten by Israelites. India celebrates the onion as medicine, a diuretic, good for digestion, the heart, the eyes, and the joints. The Greeks, of course, I have much Greek history in my background, with the Adonis-like physique, we were worshipped for our physiques. But the Greeks used onions to fortify their athletes. This was kind of like a natural steroid before the Olympic Games. Before the competition, athletes would consume pounds of onions, drink onion juice, and rub onions on their bodies. Of course,
nobody else would want to be by them. Of course they'd win.
That's it. Later, the first pilgrims actually brought onions over on the Mayflower. However, they found that strains of wild onions already grew throughout North America. Native American Indians used wild onions in a variety of ways, eating them raw, cooked, as a seasoning, or as a veg. Now, what are the three colors of onions?
Red, white, and yellow.
Very, very good. Now, do you know what seasonal onions are?
Yes.
There is the spring, summer fresh onion. They are available March through August. Do you know what their attribute are of one of those?
Sweet, juicy, thin-skinned.
Thin-skinned, and do you know why?
Because they don't have time to develop a thicker skin into the ground?
Because they have a higher water content. They are typically sweeter, milder than storage onions. With its delicate taste, the spring summer onion is ideal for salads, lightly cooked dishes. The top three summer onions, Maui Sweet, Vidalia, and?
Maui Waui?
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla. Do you know Vidalia fresh onions that are 2.5 inches around right now with the long stems on them are available in the farmer's market?
Yes.
Incredible to grill. Slice them in half, paint them with butter.
I think this is the weekend of the Vidalia Onion Festival, as a matter of fact. Down in Vidalia, Georgia.
I thought it was later. Okay. You might be right.
And I'm all excited about that. I was going to go down there, but I didn't have enough certs.
Have enough what?
Certs.
Certs?
Breath mints.
Yeah,
oh.
Breath mints.
Please. You ruined my joke.
I didn't get it. That's why it was a good joke.
Now, onions that are yellow are much more full-flavored. They turn a rich, dark brown when cooked. They're very heartily found in French onion soups. The red onion is a good choice for fresh uses, such as grilling, charbroiling. White onions are the traditional onion used in classic Mexican cuisine. They have a golden color, sweet flavor, and especially when they are sautéed. I will have more interesting onion
rhetoric
info later in the show, but you are busily whisking away and finishing up your crabby deviled egg.
Crab deviled eggs are done.
I want
you to try one.
I shall try one of these. Very good.
Very good.
Oh, man.
You get that the essence of the crab meat. It's not overpowering.
Yes.
It's very good with the egg. And when you do deviled eggs, you really, really have to mix it up. I mean, you can't sit there and do lumpy chunks because it'll be way too dry. Very simple. It's got to be thick.
Thicker the better, baby.
Well, I mean, that with the mayonnaise and keep your components cold, that would go right in the refrigerator. You could do those 3 or 4 hours ahead, not days ahead. Just a couple, 3 hours ahead would be perfect.
And smoked paprika or any of the paprikas are really good on them. I know Zesty Love Rub's good on them.
Yep.
But
classically,
smoked,
Do you know what the perfect accoutrement to a crab-filled deviled egg is?
That'd be a slice of Bobby G's pizza as you're crunching into it.
Might be Old Bay seasoning.
Old Bay'd be a great thing, too.
Oh, man. That would be a deviled egg with a Bobby G's pizza chaser.
There you go.
Oh, man.
All right, so we're moving right along to the smoked salmon scramble. Very simple. Nice cheese there hanging. It's true mozzarella there, not that imitation stuff.
Yeah, not the any pizza for $10.
What a joke. I mean, in all honesty, I've found a couple places that have very good pizza. Bobby G's, absolutely. I just wish they were a little closer in the neighborhood. Or, better yet, I wish you would start delivering to my neighborhood.
That's right.
You personally, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I'll just throw it in the back seat and run it up to you.
I appreciate it. I do it for you.
Yeah.
All right, you do it first, and I'll return the favor sometime. But yeah,
in our lifetime.
Exactly.
That's a caveat.
But Bobby G's pizza, hands down, and the hot dogs. Ugh. You know, and I know some people that can put away some food. I've seen them eat 3 hot dogs, Bobby G's, and they're like, I'm done. You can't sit there and eat like 10 or 15, not with the sport pepper and the amarellish and the mustard and a little bit of celery salt and the onion.
It's called dragging it through the garden, and in our final segment coming up next, I will tell you what dragging it through the garden means and where that rich tradition came from. When we come back, Chef Red is going to finish up smoked salmon scramble. We're going to tell you the history of the Chicago dog dragging it through the garden, and another exciting Chef and a Fat Man will be in the can. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets on this National Zucchini Bread Day, right here from Bobby G's in beautiful downtown Milton. It is Chicago, baby. Well, my friends, as we do each and every week, we bring you the movers and the shakers, the people that always make a difference in the culinary world. That doesn't necessarily mean a great difference or even a good difference, but we have a unique opportunity today to be joined by one of the true culinary giants in New Orleans. His words mean something, unlike certain presidential candidates, but his words mean something when it comes to the culinary world in New Orleans. He's a gentleman that for 22 years has captivated the airwaves of New Orleans 3 hours a day, and my friends, in drive time, no less. Drive time. And on Saturday, too. The man is a culinary guru, a wizard. He's the best of times. He's the worst of times, depending on what restaurant you are. He is, of course, the extremely popular, entertaining, and very knowledgeable Tom Fitzmaurice. And, oh, by the way, he's an author. Chef Red, he even had Emeril Lagasse do the foreword for him. Tom Fitzmaurice, welcome to the Mobile Kitchens of Chef and a Fat Man in your city, baby.
Hey, thank you for coming. And let's get one thing straight, though.
Yes?
This mover and shaker stuff. I don't shake. I grind.
I'm just
barely moving.
That's a visual I don't think anybody wants to see. But, Tom, it's such a privilege to sit down and talk with you.
Talking about a pepper mill.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you said
that. Guy's a food guy? And he missed that one?
Yeah, he did.
Well, my mind sometimes wanders.
Especially here.
But, Tom, I'll tell you what. You really came under my radar screen back shortly after the K-Beast, because when the city was down and out and everybody was wondering, we were so concerned about our friends who had restaurants and we wanted to know what was going on. We couldn't get through. And all of a sudden someone said, well, check Fitzmaurice's website. Oh, my God, dude, you were on top of it. I would go to it almost daily.
You know what? It was funny. What instigated that? The website had been going on for years and years. It goes back to 1996, which puts me in the Stone Age of the web. But people were emailing me and text messaging me with this question. Give me a list of all the restaurants that are open right now. This was at a time when the city was officially closed and you were not legally supposed to be here. And they were looking for restaurants. And I said, well, you know, the answer to that is zero. There are no restaurants. And we actually did reach zero here and it stayed there for a while. But then after I heard it enough, I said, well, let me look around, and I called around. And I wound up, this is about maybe 3.5 weeks after the storm. The flooding was still draining here and there. I found 22 restaurants in the area that were open, and I made a list, and I put it online. And I said, here it is, and that way I wouldn't have to answer all these request individually. I just say, go to the website, and here it is. Well, I have continued to keep it up. That list, it's still there. And as of this morning, we have 1,069 real restaurants, not counting fast food, not counting hot dogs and gas stations or things like that, but real places where they cook, where you sit down, where you eat. Before the hurricane, we had 809. We have 260 more restaurants now than we had before the hurricane. How's that? Now, that's a recovery.
And it's amazing, too, because this city was written off by a lot of people around the country.
It was written off by a lot of people who lived here. And but I mean, even some real true believers. I was born on Mardi Gras. That's not a joke. I really was. And I'm as New Orleans a guy as you can possibly have. I've never been out of the city for more than, well, now 6 weeks at a time. Katrina set a new record for me. And I was not sure if the city would be viable after the storm, because I knew all of what was going on. I mean, when I just to hear about it, I've always been interested in the drainage and flooding. Right? I know it sounds like a geek topic, but it's kind of interesting around here. And I said, this is not going to be something we're going to bounce back from easily. And then I started getting all this information about the restaurants that were reopening right and left. And I thought, you know, maybe so. We might. And when I came to town, can I tell you a story, or do you have another question?
No, oh, I'm going to nail you, but come on.
Oh, yeah, please. The week I got back into town, a couple of days after I arrived, some people who I didn't know emailed me and said, I see by reading your news, your website, that you're back in the city. We have a restaurant reservation this Friday night at Restaurant August, which is one of my five-star places. And we thought that since you're here and your family isn't here, that really you ought to come with us, and will you join us as our treat? And I said, how could I say no to that? And I walked in there. The place was absolutely packed. His usual 11-man kitchen brigade was two people. His usual wait staff of 24 was three people. I got there a little early. The bar was packed. The dining room was packed. I knew everybody in the place, some of the most prominent people in town. I just, you know, it's everybody's giving each other what we came to call the Katrina hug. Even people you really didn't know, you'd give the Katrina hug. Okay, you're okay. Everything's okay. And then finally, I figured, well, I'd better find the people who invited me. So I just looked around for any people who I did not recognize, and I saw one table full in the corner. I said, that must be them. And I went over there, and sure enough, it was. And after about an hour and a half of waiting, we sat down, and a waitress came over and said, hi, I'm Debbie. I'm going to be your waitress tonight, and I'll see you in a half hour. And she says, that's the best we can do, but we'll get to you. And anyway, there was this unbelievable feeling of relief and happiness in this restaurant. This was still when the city was an unbelievable mess. And here we were eating all that. We were eating foie gras again. We were eating fresh fish again. We had oysters, the crab meat, all the stuff that we love around here, all the local product. And everybody was ecstatic about this, and it told a lot of people, if we can go back to this cuisine of ours, then everything might work out after all. And I think that was the beginning of it.
We're talking to Tom Fitzmaurice. His passion is amazing. His sense of humor, almost up to par, yes. But really, it's all about the food. It's all about the cuisine of the city. And, you know, Tom, one of the things that everybody asks me, they think, since we come down here so much, where do you recommend, here's some, partiers. But they always want to go, where's the best restaurant to eat in New Orleans? Hello? You know, it's like all over the place. For people who are not familiar with the city, if they were coming in, they wanted to stay in the quarter area, around the downtown area, give me some of the gems, some of the jewels that they may not know about.
Well, the ones that they may not know about are not going to be as good as the ones that they do know about. That's really true, and the reason that they know about those is that their reputation precedes them because they're good. So I'm going to tell you, let's give an upper end and a lower end.
All right.
Okay, the upper end, to me, if you've never been to this city before, and even if you're only here for like 2 days, if you can possibly fit in a meal at Galator's, that's a meal that will tell you a whole lot about what this city's eating culture is about. It's a classic 100-year-old restaurant. It's mostly local people that go there, even though it's in the French Quarter. A lot of tourists go at night. It's busier at lunch with the locals than at night. But it's a fantastic experience to go there, and utterly unique. On the lower end of the spectrum, I think the place you need to wind up at some point is Johnny's Poor Boys. Johnny's it's right across the street from Nola, which is Emeril's second restaurant. And it's been around forever, since the 40s or 50s or something. And one of the great pleasures of eating here is roast beef poor boys, oyster loaves, shrimp loaves, red beans and rice, gumbo and all that. And this is a place, it's a little dumpy restaurant, but they are really good. They do everything the right way. Everything tastes right. If you start questioning them about their ingredients and all of that, you know, what kind of beef do you eat? Forget about that. Just eat it. It's a classic New Orleans place. So there's an upper and a lower.
Well, the man just regurgitates, which is an appropriate culinary term.
Really
regurgitates this information real easily. And why shouldn't he? He's been involved in the culinary scene for how many years now?
Well, I've been writing a weekly column for 37 years. And I've been on the radio for about, 34 years on the radio.
Oh, okay. I thought I somehow in my stats I saw 22. Okay.
But the one I'm doing now, same station, same slot, same idea, that's 22 years, but I've always been on the radio.
You know, when we were talking about what kind of person are you when you go into a restaurant, we were...
My wife has an answer to that. It's a seven-letter word we can't use.
Well,
what kind of person I am.
But But the word I hear all the time is, people always say, well, you know, I didn't like this food or I didn't like that food. What grates me? Service. I mean, service to me, good service can trump so-so food in my opinion. Good food can be destroyed by bad service.
There's no doubt about it. And this is how most people feel about it. I have been for a long time keeping a database on my radio show of the comments that people make about restaurants. Whenever they tell me anything, I always note it in the database and keep track of it. And of the top 10 things that people talk about, 8 of them are service issues purely. You don't get the food to number 9 and number 10. I saw you have a list that doesn't have food on it at all.
Well, you know, because quite frankly, when I go into a restaurant and I'm paying, whether I'm paying top dollar or bottom dollar, there's a certain expectation. Now, the expectations, I feel, are just the same. You have certain basic expectations of any restaurant. You should be meet and greeted. You should, good.
Well, do you have kids?
No.
Okay, well, if you have kids, I have kids. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything about that, but... You can't have the same expectations of both of your kids, or unless you really want to get in trouble and pay for psychiatrist bills down the road. Every restaurant is different. Every restaurant's a different personality. Every restaurant has to be approached differently, in my opinion.
Now, there's where we'll disagree. I agree with you to a point, but I'm going to challenge you by saying this. I'm going to say that you should be met and greeted in a fairly timely manner. You should be seated in a fairly timely manner. You should be treated with respect to the customer. Excuse me. And you should expect your food to be served hot in a timely manner. And you should expect courteousness from the staff. I don't care what spectrum of a restaurant. I think those things are absolutes.
I don't agree. And I'm gonna give you an example. We have a great oyster bar uptown on Magazine Street. This may be its 100th anniversary this year. I come to think of it. I hadn't thought about it till just now. The name of it is Casamento's. Casamento's is famous for not giving a flip about what you think. They are very much less than hospitable. You walk in, you might stand there for a minute before somebody gives you the word, just pick a table and sit down somewhere. They close, when they say they close at 1:30, that means 1:31 you ain't eating. They close the entire summer, June, July, and August. Every year they always have. This is a lot of inconvenience to ask your customers to put up with. But it's packed all the time, and it should be, because they buy fabulous oysters. The oysters on the half shell are wonderful, ice cold, always right. They shuck them well. There's no dirt, no junk. When they fry oysters, they're fried to order. They're crackly, they're crisp, they're just the way you want them. Fresh cut French fries, always. Soft shell crabs, big, beautiful things. And it's so good, you just blow off all the rest of it. At least I do. To me, food is everything. Or darn near everything.
Well,
I would feel funny if I went to Casamento's and I wasn't slightly insulted.
See, I you know what? That's a good point. But for me, I don't want to be dissed. I don't want to feel like I'm a second-class citizen when I walk into a restaurant.
Then food is a secondary issue for you.
I think a lot of people can put out a decent product, but I don't think that a lot of people...
Decent? I'm not... Decent isn't good enough. I want great.
And who should know more about great than Tom, than the great Tom Fitzmaurice?
No, I don't. I'm not trying to say that. But, you know, it's... to me, it's all about food. Food is the one thing you can't fake.
That's absolutely true. And there's no faking with Tom Fitzmaurice. You can sit down and have a interesting conversation. You can listen to his show. And you can actually get it now online.
Yeah, if you go to nomenu.com, just look down the left-hand column. There's a space where you can click on it and hear it streaming online.
One thing is for certain, if you listen to Tom Fitzmaurice, you will find out exactly what's happening in the culinary scene. And we're going to have a few more minutes with Tom Fitzmaurice when we come back. And I'll tell you what, we're gonna do another segment with Tom, because it's too good. There are many things I think we can get combative with him about, Chef Fred. Not at all. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about a celebration of the good life. We appreciate you celebrating the good life with Chef and the Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs, live from the Carousel Bar, right here in the Big Easy, baby, taking it to the streets of New Orleans.
Oh, my friends. Man, this is incredible. This is, of course, Chef and the Fat Man live from Bobby G's Chicago-style eatery. It is authentic Chicago food. And Chef Fred, the deviled eggs didn't last long. Of course, when you stuff anything with crab in the South, you're probably going to get rid of it real quick.
Yeah, it doesn't last long. Anything with crab and, you know, deviled eggs is a Southern thing, big time. I mean, that's where you take to funerals and weddings and engagements. And just if you got to carry something, that's the thing to carry.
Yes, especially if you have a little tote that has little plastic indentations in it to slide your egg in, and it's got a little handle on it.
So your point would be what? You want one for Christmas?
No.
Okay.
Not going to happen at Casa Jenkins. We do it the old-fashioned way. We throw it in a big tub, throw some aluminum foil over it,
and
let it ride, baby. All right, now, for the salmon scramble.
Wait, come over there.
And now for the salmon scramble.
Oh, that was a cue.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Hello, cue.
Here we go, two.
All right. I'm going to crack a couple of eggs. Into the pan they go. Into the bowl. Using a whisk. You can use a fork. Use a big balloon whisk. You want to whip these up really good. The idea is when you're whipping this up, you're adding a little bit of egg. But the thing about it is, as you pull the egg up, it should drop completely off that whisk, because that yolk will start to break up, and that's where we want it to be. And this
Close.
Is twice because of the talking going on that we burnt the butter.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it.
So the butter goes away, as you hear. And I've got more in that thing right there, Mike. We'll wipe this pan out. Butter is not something that can be left just because you don't have time. Butter doesn't wait. It breaks down. It has a very low heat
quickly.
Point. And it's done.
And if you want it to taste like almonds real quickly.
That passed almond a long time ago.
Yes.
Because we were talking and I missed my cue, so therefore that's what I get. Now, in order
when the bubbles quit, really, is where the deal is.
Yeah, once the bubbles go, it starts to turn very quickly, and then you're going to get burnt butter or brown butter, which is good in some sauces. So to cool something off like this, or cool off a pan, go ahead and add your ingredients. And we're going to go ahead and add the eggs, and we're going to start scrambling the eggs. Scrambling simply means that we're just going to keep moving them. That's all we want to do. To that, we're going to add some more of those chopped chives.
Nice.
Some fresh cracked black pepper. Okay, lots of fresh cracked black pepper. A little bit of kosher salt. And we're going to start scrambling these eggs, keeping them off the side, bringing the side to the middle.
I mean, we're learning everything today, how to properly boil eggs so they don't crack, how to make your eggs perfect for a scramble, how to scramble your eggs. I mean, my goodness, between that and the peppers and the onions and the egg knowledge, I'm telling you, if someone's listening to the show today, they would be absolutely full of it when it comes to information.
I hope they're taking notes.
Well, they should be.
Unless they're driving around. We don't want them to text and talk.
Well, of course, if they're texting, they're probably driving around.
That's true. But the thing about it is, you can always go to chefandthefatman.com, pick up the show, go to iTunes. You can listen to the show again if you miss something. And then you can go to chefandthefatman.com a couple days after you hear the show on our station and get the recipes, because we'll have the recipes up there.
There are recipes coming. There was a person that was holding this whole thing up, and I got off my butt and typed him in.
Recipe hostages. That could be a reality show.
So we've got our toast.
Recipe
again.
Hostages.
Toast is toasted, very nicely toasted.
Very nicely.
Keep scrambling those eggs.
Lovely.
No cheese. Don't need cheese. If you were going to add a little bit of cheese.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
Eggs without cheese is like peanut butter without Mayhaw jelly.
Oh, no.
No, you can do without the cheese. I know. Quit trembling over there like you're going to go into a cheese coma.
Please.
It's going to have fish in it.
We're going to have fish.
You know, fish and cheese don't go together too hot.
Are you kidding me?
And the thing
fish
about
fish tacos?
I can't argue with that one, I guess.
You got me.
Finally. But the price I will pay for that one got you.
That's right.
I don't want to know.
When you're out fishing with him and he goes, hey, check what's behind us.
Check the battery.
So we want these eggs dry. I don't want them wet. So I'm going to let them sit in the pan and kind of let that heat of that pan, because it's a copper core all-clad pan, to go ahead and warm those through a little bit. We still got little wisps coming out, so that's that. When they're done, all we're going to do, and they kind of get into a little bit bigger sections.
Yes, I love dry. I can't eat scrambled eggs soup.
I don't like runny. I had a chef that I was working with. His definition of a runny egg, it's not the most culinary pleasing words.
Yeah.
Four eggs, snotty.
Why did you have to repeat that?
Because I thought it was the first time I heard it, I almost
show.
Died. We're like, Chef, what? He goes, snotty, runny. Yes, Chef.
You had to say it a second time, didn't you? You just couldn't resist.
No, because if I didn't, you would.
You know why I don't like runny eggs? Because it messes with the ketchup.
Yeah.
It makes it too liquidy. What are you guys talking about? You don't put ketchup on your eggs?
No.
Oh, please.
No.
You're heathens.
No.
I don't suppose you use Crystal hot sauce on your eggs either.
That's different. Absolutely different.
It's red and liquid.
It's not as... Yeah, but it's not
ketchup. It's not a tomato product.
Exactly. It's a great pepper product.
Well, I like the tomatoes. I want the vitamin C.
And the lycopene.
Yes. Speaking of that...
Vitamin D.
Onions. You know, onions
are
a very
onions.
Good source of...
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C, absolutely. And chromium. And dietary fiber.
Chromium?
Yes.
So what? So we reflect in the bright sunlight or what?
They also are a good source for manganese, molybdenum, vitamin B6, folate, potassium, phosphorus, and copper.
Did you mean molybdenum?
Hey, listen. Settle down over there, Serrano. Onions help maintain healthy bones, and several anti-inflammatory agents in onions make them helpful in reducing the severity of symptoms associated with inflammatory conditions, such as?
Arthritis.
Bingo. And?
Swelled head.
Well, you two guys would have a real, you guys should eat onions all the time. No, you know, it's also in addition, there is quercetin and flavonoids.
Flavonoids.
Found it. Yeah, that's right. Flavonoids. See, I am full
is
of it.
Is that from the game Asteroids?
Yes.
I got a question.
I got an answer.
Bobby G, brilliant businessman, obviously.
Obviously. A genius.
How does he have this impeccable talent that when the food is ready, he pulls up and hands a plate?
He's a man that knows when the food's ready.
All right, so we've got our eggs scrambled.
Yes.
We're going to top them with a little bit of salmon, lox, whichever you prefer. This would not be a good time to have herring, pickled or sour cream herring.
Yes.
Neither one would be my choice. No mayonnaise on the bread, no ketchup on the bread. Take the ketchup bottle out of your hand. Put it down. We're going to have a ketchup intervention, Kevin. Not everything. You wouldn't pour ketchup on a Bobby G's pizza.
No, you wouldn't. But you know what? When you read the ingredients on Bobby G's pizza, there are 7 ingredients, and then there's 8, which is the 8th one is in red. Absolutely no ketchup.
That's kind of like going to a Jewish deli and asking for mayonnaise. It's a sin.
Oh, yeah, it's a sin.
Well, my friends, I promise you very quickly, before we wrap up this show, as Chef Fred is dicing up the sandwiches and passing them out, what is the history behind dragging it through the garden on a hot dog from Chicago? What it goes back to is it goes back to the days of the Great Depression. And many people had to live out of food from their gardens. That's what they did.
Yeah.
So the gardens up north produced a lot of pickles, a lot of, you know, onions, tomatoes. And what they did was, in order to stretch the meal, they used the vegetables. So they took the simple, basic boiled hot dog from Vienna, which was really the predominant hot dog in Chicago, and they started adding all these ingredients from their garden to the hot dog. So, as they do so many times in the culinary world, especially in places where they do food quickly, they will shorten the ingredients. So instead of saying, I'll have a Chicago dog with yellow mustard, chopped onions, relish, blah, 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 they call it dragging it through the garden because that's what they did.
Like all the way.
All the way, baby.
Or in Philadelphia, they say wit.
Wit. There, yeah, well, Philadelphia doesn't know how to speak right, but that's okay. That's why they're from Philadelphia.
Couple good places up there, though.
Yes. Geno's or Pat's? You know, it's Geno's.
It's Geno's.
Okay, my friends, another exciting show is in the can. We thank you so very much. A special shout-out to the Papa of Peppers, Mike Stock, for his appearance today. We drug him out of the waters of Lake Lanier. And, of course, to Executive Chef, the Goomba of Goodies, Fred Genovese. And a special, special shout-out and thanks to the man himself, Bobby G, for the great concept, for giving us a place to do the show, because we love the Chicago experience. And to all the staff that made this show happen, to Matt and Jason and Jennifer working hard behind the scenes to make sure that our culinary expertise was allowed to flourish. As we do each and every week, we like to remind the major sponsors of the show. Of course, that would be the Big Green Egg,
the ultimate cooking vessel.
And by the Georgia USO, spend some money with the USO, especially the Georgia USO. You'll really see your money go to work well. They help make our troops feel a little more like home, even though they are thousands of miles away. Also, to the great folks at OXO for giving us those great, wonderful, economical kitchen utensils that fit the hands so perfectly. And to Fee Brothers for the best cordials, for the best syrups, for the best bitters. You name it, they've been mixing it up since 1863. And to our newest good friend, the ABA, the American Bass Anglers Association Barbecue Cook-Off Series, sponsored by Early Time Whiskey. We will be at a number of their events this year, bringing it to you live from Lakeside. That should be a lot of fun. And, of course, how can you forget Tourism Ireland? Why not have that special trip this summer, this fall, or maybe save up for Christmas and New Year's in Ireland? It's a trip you'll never forget. It's a trip that makes dreams. And, of course, the Hotel Monteleone, the heart and soul of hospitality. When we see you next week, my friends, we'll be live from the Big Green Egg. We will be cooking up, grilling up, and getting your summer ready. We're going to give you hot recipes, and I'm sure we'll get Bobby Cressip to drop in and give us some quick tips on how to barbecue from the professional barbecue circuit, where he has been tearing it up this season already. Until next week, my friends, Chef of the Fat Man, we remind you, as we do each and every week, to help our friends in New Orleans and keep those tourist dollars flowing, and, of course, to our wonderful troops and our first responders. They are the reason we enjoy the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom
is never free.
Stick right here to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, my friends. We'll see you next week. God bless everyone, and eat up, baby.